Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing a new supplement published in the Medical Journal of Australia about tracking the health and well-being of children and young people. The supplement is sponsored by Vic Health. My special guest helped write the supplement and is with me now. Dr. Kate Lysette is a Senior Research Fellow at the Faculty of Health in the School of Psychology at Deakin University. She is also an Honorary Research Fellow at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. Dr. Lysette helped write the first article in the supplement, titled A Framework for the Future Healthy Countdown 2030. Dr. Lysette is with me now. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Lysette, before we talk about the health and well-being of young people, can you please tell me a little bit about your background and how you and your colleagues came to write about this topic?
Sure. So my background is in psychology and epidemiology, and I've been working in child and young people's health and well-being research for the last 15 years. My research really centres on how we can create environments that wrap around and nurture children and young people's well-being. And I'm particularly passionate about trying to create a more equitable and sustainable well-being within our country, and particularly around children and young people and also future generations. So that's really where the Future Healthy Countdown comes in.
And let's turn now to the supplement. And why did you feel it was important to highlight the issue of young people's health and well-being in Australia?
Well, in many ways, Australia is a wonderful place for children and young people to grow up. This is not the case for all children. And of course, it's also at the moment with climate change, there's also many uncertainties for future generations. So despite being a peaceful country and having a world-class universal healthcare system, excellent immunisation rates and increasing educational attainment, we know that too many Australian children and young people are struggling. And it's certainly not an equitable start to life in Australia that we often refer to in the so-called lucky country. So for over the past two decades, we've actually seen major increases in wealth inequalities in our nation. And this has a major impact on children and young people. So we know that at the moment, it's estimated that about one in six children are living in poverty in Australia. So in our work, we often talk about measuring societal progress. And perhaps the most basic measure of societal progress is that our children and young people will be better off than their parents. And at the moment, for many of us, we feel like we're failing on this front.
And talking about inequities, let's look at those in a bit more detail. Some children are growing up in poverty. Some may have had some form of maltreatment. There really are a lot of factors that influence their happiness and well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a wealthy nation, we know we should be doing a lot better on this front. So, you know, the current rates, for instance, of mental disorders, it's estimated that one in seven children and adolescents have a mental disorder. One in two adolescents are very or extremely worried about climate change. Of course, one in four children experience overweight and obesity. So this kind of picture we know is going on. And it's really important to acknowledge that this is worse for priority populations. So we know that, for instance, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander origin children and also for low-income families, these health and wellbeing outcomes are actually far worse. So this is a big issue in Australia. But what we also know is that we're a country when we face a challenge because we lack a coordination and accountability for children and young people in terms of policy, and it's widely dispersed across different portfolios and jurisdictions. So holding government and institutions and all of us really accountable for these metrics so that we can all work together to improve this situation is a real challenge, but it's really important because we are, as I said, we are a wealthy country and we should be able to change this trajectory so that children are doing better, and all children.
And let's talk about the Future Healthy Countdown 2030. Our medical audience may not know much about this. Can you give me a brief overview of the countdown, who made it, and why we need it?
Yeah, so the Future Healthy Countdown really aims to spotlight the health and well-being of Australian children and young people each year in the lead up to 2030. The idea is that we hope to drive accountability mechanisms and policy change required to improve this situation. It's been led by VicHealth, and this is in partnership with the Australian Research Alliance for Children and Youth and the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. And it's been developed by some of Australia's most respected doctors, policymakers, and this includes people like Professor Fiona Stanley, Professor Sharon Goldfeld, Dr. Sandra O'Dimeo, Penny Dakin, and of course, importantly, the National Children's Commissioner, Anne Hollands. So it's really about coming together across the country and trying to provide year in, year out, metrics about how we're doing for our children and young people. Another really important aspect is around actually asking children and young people what matters to them. And they're the metrics we want to be measuring, because we know that including children and young people's voices will help bring about change, and that's a hugely important part of the project. Through the MJA, each year we plan to measure and monitor progress on the key measures that we'll look at in the lead up to 2030, and we hope that this will galvanise policy and public action whilst also providing accountability for essential improvement that's needed. So it will showcase the best evidence that can be actioned. And I guess one of the ways when we just started writing this piece was we said to all of the authors, if we had to choose one thing that could make a difference to children and young people in your area of work, what would it be? And that's really, if we look at the supplement, that's exactly what we see. So the authors have chosen the key things that they think are important for children and young people, and what are the priority policy things we could drive change on to make a difference to their lives.
Yes, it really is a call to action. Let's unpack what the government is doing in this space. What kind of steps is the federal government taking?
Yeah, so it's actually a really exciting time to be working in this space. This year in July, Jim Chalmers, the Treasurer, announced Australia's first wellbeing framework, not a budget, which we personally I'd love to see it go further, but it is a framework, and that's a great step in the right direction. So that's saying that instead of just looking at narrow economic metrics to measure Australia's societal progress, we're now going to be looking at things like health and sustainability and other pillars that really matter. It's an exciting time, and I think there's a lot of opportunity, for instance, for this work to feed into that and to put children and young people at the centre of policy decisions and also future generations, so we can be building a better Australia and measuring their metrics and ensure that they are considered when we're making policy decisions. When we often talk about this work, we look at other countries who have made a lot of progress in this space, and particularly Wales. So in Wales, they had the first Future Generations Commissioner who assessed policies based on their six goals that they came up with through their 2015 Wellbeing Act. So they actually legislated on wellbeing. And when we look at some of the decisions that the Future Generation Commissioner made, it really changed the course of their nation. So for instance, there were major roadways that were supposed to be developed. And when the Future Generations Commissioner said, well, are these in line with our national goals for a more prosperous Wales, a more equitable Wales, and a healthier Wales? The policymakers decided that that was not the case. So, for instance, they had had a moratorium on major roads because they're not in the interest of future generations. So I think this can show us what the potential of looking at policy decisions through the lens of sustainable and equitable wellbeing could do for children and young people, future generations, but also, of course, the country.
And how important is it for health professionals, for doctors listening to this podcast, to be aware of the issues faced by young people? And you encourage doctors to read the supplement.
Well, obviously I'm biased. I think it's definitely worth reading. But I think it's great because it brings it all together in a coherent seven small short papers. And it gives you an idea of just how multifaceted health is. So we can often work in our silos, but of course doctors see it all the time. They know so well about the social determinants of health. when we refer to the social determinants of health, we're going beyond that. So we're also talking about commercial interests and those things. So I think one of the interesting things about the paper is it brings all of that together and looks at children and young people across society and the different policy vehicles that can impact on their lives. Often when we think about children, we think about the environment that they grow up in, so the family environment and the education, school and community environment. But also we know that the broader environment, so the political and the spaces outside that, you know, in terms of often, you know, workplaces, they also have a major impact on children and young people's lives. We think about maternity leave, holidays, all of those things are really important for ensuring children and young people can thrive and that they, all children have kind of an equitable start to life. So I think it goes into those details and goes beyond a kind of narrow health and broadens out. So that's really important. The seven key domains within the Future Healthy Countdown, and they're based on the things that matter to children and young people. So, and that includes things like being healthy, the environment, so sustainability, education and learning. Across each of those seven domains, we've had to really think about what is the things that really matter to children and young people that we could pull a lever on from a policy perspective and make a difference to children and young people's lives within the next 7 years. It's a short time window, but we know we urgently need to if we're going to turn the trajectory around. The other thing that's important about the paper is it doesn't just go on the doom and gloom about these issues. It shows us, you know, some examples from other countries of what we could be doing. We know that the Scandinavian countries, for instance, do equity much better than us. So there's a lot we can learn from them. And it also scopes up the current landscape in Australia and shows us just what an exciting time it is that we could be bringing about change.
And each year, you plan to publish the Future Healthy Countdown 2030 in the Medical Journal of Australia to hold those in government and in decision-making positions to account.
Absolutely. And one of the things to look out for is also children and young people's voices telling us what matters to them and what would make a really big difference to them. And it's going to be a journey, and we'd love to have as many medical doctors on the ride with us as possible. So, yeah, please look out for it.
Dr. Lysett, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks very much for having me, Sam.
My special guest has been Dr. Kate Lysett, a Senior Research Fellow at the Faculty of Health in the School of Psychology at Deakin University. Dr. Lysett is also an Honorary Research Fellow at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. She was one of the co-authors of the first article in the supplement titled A Framework for the Future Healthy Countdown 2030. You can read the supplement by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our website at mja.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me today.